Welcome to the First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark is normally our minister, and to the radio audience, we would like to say that Pastor is ill today, so we will be conducting our service with our own people, as to say. So please bear with us. I am Suzanne Hickson, the worship leader for this morning, and Bert has graciously offered to be our acolyte, so let us quiet our minds and prepare our hearts for worship. Our first praise song, if stand if you are able, is number 2088, Lord, I lift your name on high. Call to worship. Come, all ye faithful, to worship, praise, and pray. Come, all ye unfaithful, for God's love welcomes us home. Come into the presence of Christ, for Christ's grace makes us new and whole.
Let's pray. This is your Sunday note to remind you to not start worrying about the week ahead. Today is so precious, offering you time to enjoy a slower pace, feeding your heart with moments that will revive your energy. Just be into today, make the most of it. It's the best kind of preparation for the new week ahead. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 143, On Eagle's Wings, and we'll sing it through twice.
You may be seated. We got this.
Come on up if you're willing and able, kids. It's up to you. I'm going to have to stand here, though, so that you can hear me. Okay? I'm going to have you hold this up. Sean, you hold this up so it's just perfect. When we think of goodness, we need to think of all the wonderful things that God has taught us. In the Bible, Matthew 19, verse 17, Jesus said, "When you call me good, you are calling me God, for God alone is truly good." When we share our goodness with others, things like sharing, caring, and loving each other, we are doing what God has done and wants all of us to do too. So today and every day, I want you to go and share the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the goodness that you have shared with us, and we will continue to share your goodness with others. Amen.
Thank you, kiddos. The Old Testament reading this morning is Joshua chapter 5, verse 9 through 12. When the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt for you," so the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after. They ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the product of Canaan. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings and goodness you have bestowed on us. Father, we ask that you watch over all those who are battling illness. Heal them. Be with those who are suffering loss. Give them comfort and strength as they mourn the loss of their loved ones. Watch over everyone traveling this week. Let them all enjoy their time away and get home safely. Lord, we pray for our church and ask that you continue to guide us all in the direction that you are leading us. We ask that everything you lead us to do pleases you. Now we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our choir anthem this morning is, "Are Ye Able?" Said the Master.
Christian, answer to the death he found.
Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. Our New Testament reading today is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. For our listeners on the radio today, we're going to have things a little different. We're not going to have a morning message. We're going to attempt an old-fashioned hymn sing. So hopefully you will sing along with us. We will announce the name of the song, the pages it's on, if you have hymnals at home, and feel free to join in. And everybody in the congregation, we need to sing extra loud today. So are you going to do that, or... Okay, Suzanne's going to do a little reading first on Umcore Sunday.
Since this is Umcore Sunday, there was a special entry in our devotional, and I'd like to read that for you. It's entitled "Pound Cakes for Peace." There was a 9-year-old member of a United Methodist Church named Smith, heard about the crisis in Ukraine, and he wanted to help. Today, with a kitchen and a family covered in flour, he sold nearly 50 pound cakes to raise funds to support the humanitarian work of the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR. "Smith is the youngest of our 4 sons," said Smith's mom, Emily Wilson. "We have had many dinner conversations about the horrors that are taking place in Ukraine. Our pastor, Reverend Ashley Jenkins, has talked about UMCOR in church and how they are helping feed and clothe people who have lost everything. As a church, we have been taking up extra offerings to contribute. Hearing about all the hurting Ukrainians, Smith felt the need to do something to help. His first thought was lemonade and a cookie stand. But then he had the idea to sell his Mimi's pound cakes. Mom, who can resist Mimi's cakes? It is a special pound cake. It's the best in the world," said little Smith. So he called his grandparents and shared his idea with them. Pound Cakes for Peace was born. He sold 33 cakes in just a few days, followed by another order for 13 more cakes. Smith is selling his cakes for $18 and a bag of Icebox cookies for 10. Both are family recipes that have been passed down through the years. Smith, at the age of 9, raised more than $3,500. "We are so proud of Smith," said his mom. As Smith's grandpa likes to say, Smith weighs 80 pounds. 70 of it is his heart. UMCOR Sunday calls United Methodists to share the goodness of life for those who are hurt. Our gifts to UMCOR Sunday lay the foundation for the United Methodist Committee on Relief to share God's love with communities everywhere. Thank you, Little Smith, for your offerings.
The first hymn that we're going to sing is number 707, the Hymn of Promise. And before we do that, Linda Schramm has got a little story to share with us that kind of wraps around this actual hymn.
Hymn 707, Hymn of Promise, is a newer hymn in our hymnal. It hasn't been in previous hymnals. And it speaks, it was written particularly as a funeral hymn, as you hear the and sing the words later. But I wanted to kind of put it in context of a funeral I was at recently, the Saturday before last. Some of you may remember from the year 2000 to 2008, I had the awesome opportunity to serve on the General Board of Global Ministries as well as the National Office of United Methodist Women. Those aren't things you can sign up for and get to do. Those are things that you're actually elected to represent. In this case, North Central Jurisdiction. United Methodist Women hold these jurisdiction meetings every 4 years, and there's an election for the people who are going to be on, it was called Women's Division at that time, to represent the United Methodist Women across the nation. Each conference can put up 3 women to be elected. At that time, there were 13 conferences, so there was a possibility. So there were 39 very capable United Methodist women running, being voted on by this meeting of probably 1,500 women. And I was pleasantly surprised when I was one of many of them. That's a story for another day, because how do you get that many women from across North Central Jurisdiction to even know who you are? I kind of, in my life, follow where I think God's leading me, and had no idea that where God was leading me got me in positions where I was able to do workshops in half the conferences. And so people got to know me. I guess thought I did workshops okay or something, so at least my name was out there. And for me, the amazing part is I was able to do those workshops when I was still employed. But the workshops were all on weekends, usually starting Saturday morning and running through lunchtime on Sunday. And so I can remember one particular day leaving Marlette School about 3 o'clock, driving to a metro airport, getting a flight about 7:30, flying to Wausau, Wisconsin, and getting in there. And they picked me up there and kept me. I had a hotel reservation overnight, and then they transported me to the church where we put on the workshops and whatever. Very well received, and got on a plane noon Sunday and flew back home. And so it did work for employed women, and with United Methodist Women in Leadership, a lot of them are doing really powerful work at the time where they're still raising families and doing leadership roles. My roommate in this, when I was elected, we get signed roommates if we don't pick one, but there was a woman from Interlochen, Michigan, from West Michigan Conference, who was also elected. So we decided we would room together. And so we spent 8 years rooming together. And it's surprising that as we room together, we talk about UMW things, and we talk about kind of where our lives are, but there's a lot of things that aren't covered. And so when I had learned she had died about 3 weeks ago, and her funeral was a week ago yesterday, when I read her obituary, there were things I didn't even know about her that we really had in common. And so They did a nice brochure on her life, and so I'll share it with you at this time. Julia Jane Jones was born at home in Frankfort, Michigan. She was the fifth of six children, with an older brother, Dick, older sisters, Luella, Helen, and Pearl, and a younger brother, John. Her mother died when Julia was only seven, and her father married Lena Fewins a few years later, but he died when Julia was only 12. I knew none of this. Julia became a loving mother who raised Julia. The stepmother became a very loving mother who raised Julia into a gracious young woman. As a child, Julia helped her father in his print shop, and at the age of 16, she became Gwen Frostix, if many of you are familiar with her poetry and her woodcut artistry. She became Gwen Frostix's first employee in her Presscraft printing studio. And if any of you haven't heard of Gwen Frostix, she's quite well known, particularly in Michigan, for her poetry and for her woodcut craft art. But she was actually born in Sandusky and raised in Croswell. Many of you know Frostix School is named after the family she was out of. So just that I had that close of connection with somebody that's well known in Michigan, and I had no idea that Julia had worked for her. That was just awesome information for me. She graduated from Frankfort High School, second in her class, and studied library science at Eastern Michigan College for 2 years. I had not a clue, and many of you know, what did I spend my life doing? I was a school librarian, aka school media specialist, all my life. We never crossed paths there, because she didn't finish her degree. She ended up meeting somebody in the Air Force and getting married right away, so hence her life became, I think, probably more exciting than mine in a school library. Julia married Orson Albert Deemer in 1960, launching an adventurous life at military bases around the world. They started at K.I. Sawyer Air Force Base in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, where Sharon was born. Soon after that, the U.S. Air Force transferred Orson to Wheelis Air Force Base, Tripoli, Libya. And this is the first story that I ever heard her tell. But after her husband got transferred to Libya, she then was to follow as an Air Force wife at that time with an 18-month-old little Sharon who had been born, 6 months pregnant with her next child. And she told me how long it took, and it was like eight different air flights transferring in the early 1960s, just getting from Michigan to Libya, Tripoli. So it was quite an experience for her. Julia, as I say, Julia followed him there with an 18-month-old daughter and was 6 months pregnant when she made the trip. After eight adventurous flight, she arrived at Wheeler Air Force Base to Orson's welcoming arms. Their next two sons were born there before their family returned stateside for a short assignment at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. From there, they moved to Clark Air Force Base, Philippines, where they experienced remote living like no other assignment, with water buffalo grazing across the street from their home. They experienced a major earthquake there and the stresses of the Vietnam War while they were there. Orson's next assignment at Hickman Air Force Base, Hawaii, culminated Orson's Air Force career in a wonderful paradise filled with fond memories for the entire family. Throughout these assignments, Julie was a faithful, loving military wife, devoted mother, and active volunteer at church and civic organizations like parent-teacher organization and such. After retirement, Orson and Julia built their dream home in Benzie County with their own church hands. Julia lived there the rest of her life, expanding her life of service to God through the Lake Ann United Methodist Church, her family, the community, and the world. Julia served in her life as a 4-H leader and scouts, managed the Evelyn Heim building at the Northwest Michigan Fair, taught Sunday school, cooked and coordinated church dinners, and sewed with the church quilting group and much others. She served as United Methodist Women and United Group President, then known as District United Methodist Women, served as the conference president for West Michigan, and then finally served on the United Methodist Board of Global Ministries, overseeing projects in Tonga, England, Mexico, and India. So that's kind of the story of Julia's life. My experience was through working on the Board of Global Ministries, I had the opportunity to check on what UMCOR was doing in Armenia. It was a country that had just come out of being under the Soviet influence, and so it was interesting watching a country that was, UMCOR was helping rebuild their infrastructure. And so it was just another, it wasn't disaster relief, but it was helping a country who had been under Soviet domination for so many years, and having outside help through UMCOR to work on their infrastructure. And then the most personal story I have with Julia is we were both serving on a regional school committee summer, I think 2006, and we were in Shreveport, Louisiana from like Sunday till Thursday noon we got done. And I had a meeting the next day, Friday, at 9 o'clock in the bishop's office, and so I needed to get there. And so we left Shreveport about noon and drove to Michigan all night, changing off drivers. Luckily, expressways are well lit, so we got through the whole width of the country driving, and I was only 10 minutes late for my meeting with the bishop at that time. So that was just some of the some of our adventures, serving one of the opportunities I've had through United Methodist Women, and just the quality of people who do get elected to these national jobs to make some of the decisions that are happening in the church. So with that, we'll sing in honor of my friend Julia, 707, Hymn of Promise. Thank you.
Exactly what I picked out, Pam. Here I am, Lord, number 593. Let's all stand for this one, please.
1904, the old rugged cross, one of our old all-time favorites. Up with 431. 314.
I know the guy.
final one will be number 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth. I think that went fairly well, so thank you all for being cooperative, and thank you, Melissa, for just on a whim, and hopefully our radio audience sang along with us today, too. Now, if my ushers would come forward, please. Guide us this week with your blessings and lead us in your ways as we honor and bless you with our tithes and offerings. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 163, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know.
say our benediction together this morning. Created anew in Christ,
we go to bring new life to the world.
Transformed by God's love and grace,
we go to bring love and grace to all.
We'll now sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.